as we come together on this evening, continuing to give God thanks for all that he has done for us. It is always good to be assembled together with the saints, doing the things that God is pleased with. In our lives, in our everyday living, there are those times where we take the time to look at our physical bodies. And as I stated on last week, there are times where we may pass by the mirror and we may not like what we see. So therefore, we start some type of plan, some type of program, and we try to get our bodies where we want them to be. Some succeed and others fail. Some fail, later on they try again and they fail again. And even with those that succeed, they go back and they look in that mirror maybe 6, 7, 8 months later, and they're right back in the same shape they were in before. And they get discouraged and they give up. They lose hope. Well, let me suggest that no one can change you but you. And if you are dissatisfied with something in your life, then as I state, talking about that mirror again, you go back to that mirror, not to see what your body looked like, but to see the person that is responsible for that dissatisfaction. As we look at the lesson on tonight, it is not dealing with the physical body, but it is dealing with the spiritual. And if we look in the perfect law of liberty, if we look in the mirror, God's word, and we are dissatisfied with what we see, again, keep on looking. Keep on looking, and you will see the person responsible for that dissatisfaction. Spiritual fitness is something that we need to all consider having as we talk about our lives, talk about what God desires of us. I pulled this definition up. The Air Force defines spiritual fitness as the ability to adhere to beliefs, principles, or values needed to persevere and prevail in accomplishing missions. As this definition implies, spiritual fitness does not require any degree of religious, whatever that word is, or belief of the supernatural. That's the last part, don't make any sense anyway. But I want you to understand this, that spiritual fitness comes from being a child of God. You, if you're not a child of God, you can forget about spiritual fitness altogether as we're looking at it tonight. Yeah, your spiritual body, that soul that you possess, that God gave you in order that you may have the movement of your limbs, that you may have a feeling within you to say who you are in reference to who God or how God made you. Sometimes our spirit, some people say the spirit man, he is struggling. He is struggling because of what's right and what's wrong. He's struggling because he's not where he know he needs to be. He's struggling because there's something that has happened in his life to cause him to give up. But I want you to know that God has never ever given up on his people. That God will never give up on us, and we should think very hard before we give up on him. So spiritual fitness, again, it helps us maintain spiritual balance. Spiritual balance. You remember, some of y'all may have never been in the courtroom before. And even when you go in all courtrooms, it's not there. But they have a scale. And there is a blindfold on the woman there. And it talks about how justice is blind. That everything is equal in the eyes of the courts. Well, I want you to know that our God is not blind, but everything is equal in His eyes. There's a balance to everything. There's a balance to Him creating this world. There's a balance to Him creating everything He's put in this world. There's a balance in how He created man. He created man and He created woman. The balance is this, that everything after His own kind may reproduce. That's the balance we look at in creation. But when we talk about spiritual fitness and we talk about a balance, there are some things that we need to address. There are some things that we need to look at. It doesn't matter how strong you are physically. If you are spiritually weak, what good is that physical strength going to do you? It's not going to do you any good. I don't care how much iron you can pump. I don't care how many miles you can run. If you do not have spiritual fitness, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Again, the scripture reference that was read from 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. He says, but reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little. Let me stop right there just for a minute. It profits a little. So do we need bodily exercise? Yes. Without it, we become lazy. We become oversized. We get to the point where we fade away. We have no strength to do anything because we're not exercising. That person, I mentioned this about the lazy person before, who lays in the bed all day long and then says, oh, my back is hurting. Your back needs to hurt. You need to get up and you need to exercise. When we talk about spiritual fitness, look what he says. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Listen to this. People say, I am not where you are in your spiritual walk with God. Why? I don't need you to be where I am. I need you to surpass me. I need you to be where God wants you to be. See, there are too many times where we try to keep up with the next man. I started to say the Joneses, but we have a set of them here. But we try to keep up with the next man where we should be trying to do what God wants us to do, get spiritually fit, be pleasing in His eyesight. Job was spiritually fit before God. How come we can't be? See, God can look down upon us. He said, that's one of my servants right there. I'm proud of that person. He is standing for the truth. He is doing what he is supposed to do. He's in the Word daily. He's out there talking to people about their soul salvation. Last night, we were standing on the sidewalk, and this guy came through, and I stopped him. And then later on, somebody said, why are you always messing with people? I'm always messing with people because people are always messing with me. If you speak to me, you're messing with me. You have my attention. You want me to talk to you. And I might as well talk to you about God. See, we have to maintain a balance. You want to talk about football? I talk about football with you. Well, actually, I'll sit down and listen to you because I don't know a whole lot about football. But when it's my turn to talk, I want you to listen to me. Again, bodily exercise, it profits little. Yeah, it's good, but it profits little. But what we need is godliness. We need the spiritual exercise. See, some of our hands just don't know how to open the Bible any longer because we have not done it. You know, that guy out there that's a runner, and well, he used to be a runner. He go back out and he try to run again. He said, man, I just can't do it. I remember when I used to run 5, 6, 7, 8 miles, but now I can barely run a half a mile. That same person that used to study God's Word day in and day out has put the Bible aside, and he goes back and he tries to pick it up, and he finds it hard to study God's Word. Why? He's out of practice. He's out of practice. That should not be said about any Christian. That we are out of practice in studying God's word. We need to be in the word. Grow. Do the things that are right, that are before God. Exercise. Diligence. Put forth some effort. It's work. I can't do it. It's too hard. You can't do it because you don't want to do it. I can't remember one scripture. The reason you can't remember one scripture is because you're not trying to remember one scripture. What does the Bible say? Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody in here should have heard this verse by now. Even little children. And you should be able to quote this verse by now. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you don't know how to remember scripture, at least know how to pick up the Bible and be able to read it. You don't have to remember these things. It's there for you. It's an open book test. Our lives are open before God. It's a test every day. You have to exercise. You have to do the things that are right before God. Study. Study. Some of us have bad study habits. Bad study habits. Some of us don't have study habits at all. We don't know how to study. I remember in the military, and I used to have to study for an SQT test, skill qualification test. I would take that book, and I would look at that book, and I would look at those things in there, and I would go to sleep on that book. I have no idea how I ever passed the test, but I did. I did. I guess I was listening to some of the things that were being said, and I guess I was practicing some of the things that I needed to do, and when I saw those things on that test, I was able to pass. But I want you to know, if we do not study God's word, we will not be able to pass the test in the end. We have to study. It is a command. Study not to prove yourselves before any man. We're not trying to outdo anybody, but study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to know what this means. We have to know what that means. And we have to know what's for us and what's for them. We have to know how we're supposed to live our lives. So therefore, we study. We study the book. Not the books that some man has written to give you some ideas on how to govern your life, but we go to the Bible from point A to point Z. The Bible has guidance for us. We need to accept it. We need to accept it. You lost a member of your family? The Bible deals with that. You have a new member in your family? The Bible deals with that. You own a new job? The Bible deals with that. You want to get into a marriage? The Bible deals with that. You want a divorce? The Bible deals with that. It deals with a whole lot of things. Children obeying their parents. Parents doing the things that are right before their children. It covers all those things. Within our worship, the Bible covers those things. We need to study to understand the difference between this and that. Study. Study. Self-control. Self-control. A lot of us do not have self-control. A lot of us are not doing the things that God would have us to do. Look what the Bible says there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Paul understood what he needed to do in order to get to where he needed to be. But look at verse 24 and come down. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run? But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one who beating the air. I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. I remember, I learned this in elementary, and it has stuck with me for many, many years. In elementary, you know, let me just say this. We only look at three people in a race most of the time, because only three stand up on the podium. You have the one that has first place, you have the one that has second place, and then you have one that has third place. Did you not know that they have a white ribbon? They have a light blue ribbon. They have a pink ribbon. And there's many other colors, green. All those are consolation prizes. No one wants those ribbons. But I learned that in elementary school. They were giving ribbons out to everybody. They didn't want anybody to be sad because they didn't win a ribbon. So some of you children in here, when y'all get those ribbons, go home and be excited about it. But I want you to understand that when you have done all that you can do, in the end, reference to God's word, that you can win an imperishable crown. You can wear a crown that nobody can take away from you. You cannot be disqualified once that crown is given to you. But there are many racers, there are many runners that have had their ribbons taken from them, their trophies taken from them, because they did things dishonest. We have to exercise self-control in this race that we're running. You find that there needs to be a proper diet. A proper diet. We talked about that plan. When you look in that mirror, you say, man, I'm dissatisfied. I don't weigh enough. Y'all didn't think I was going to say that before, did you? I don't weigh enough. I need to get this weight gain. I tried that one time. I was like, why am I taking this stuff? I should be satisfied with my weight. And then I quit taking it, and then I started gaining weight later on. And I was like, man, I got up to 148 pounds. I was miserable coming from 124. I was miserable. I'm up to 175 now. I feel good. I want you to understand that if we are right where we started when we became children of God, and you have been a child of God for 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, you should be dissatisfied. You should be dissatisfied because you are not taking in God's word the way you need to be taking it in. There needs to be a proper diet. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32. In Acts chapter 20, verse 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. It's his word that we need. It's his word that we need to be living by. It's his word that we need to be taking in. The word of God, not the word of men. I keep telling people when we're teaching God's word, we're talking about God's word. You don't want my opinion because I value my opinion more than I value yours. And you're really not going to be satisfied with what I tell you, reference to my opinion. You don't want to know what I think. You don't want to know how I feel. Let's go to the word and let's see what God says. And let's continue to study his word. And let's continue to do the things that are pleasing before him. 2 Timothy 3 and the verse is 15. 2 Timothy 3 and the verse is 15. Knowing again, it is by God's word that we live. It is by God's word that we're going to be able to move forward. It says to Paul, as he writes to Timothy, he says, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From your childhood, he said, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, with the scriptures, with the Old Testament. You have known these things. But look what he tells him. He says in verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. It's the word that we need, this proper diet. How many of you have ever thought about writing a book? There are some of us that have thought about this. And the book that you thought about writing, was it going to be for children? Was it going to be for young adults? Was it going to be for old adults? Or did you think about writing a book about some religious matter? Thought about writing a book just to be writing something? This right here is the best book that has ever been written. Amen. This book that gives us guidance on how we're supposed to live our lives. We need to take this in. This proper diet. We need to take this in. God's word. And be able to do what is right before him. To be able to stand, to be able to say, I am a child of God, to be able to say, you know, I want more of His Word. It says in Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 6. Hebrews chapter 5 and the verse 6. And He says also in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. You know, when we think about our Lord and our Savior, and we think about all the things in which He has done, we understand by looking at this and taking in the proper diet that our Lord and our Savior, He was there in the beginning and He will be there in the end. And nothing that goes on or have gone on in between that He has done should cause us to fall away, but it should cause us to grow closer unto God. It says, you're a priest forever, forever. He will never, ever pass away. Then we need godliness. Godliness deals with Godward attitude. A Godward attitude. Man, he has a great attitude toward God's word. He has a great attitude on life in general because he is close to God. He's striving to be more Christ-like. He's being the example to others that God would have him to be. The mode of conduct. That's godliness. Our conduct should be that of a Christian. One that follows God's word. One that is willing to pick up the word and study the word. And here's the reason why. In hope of eternal life. In hope of eternal life. We're not there yet. We have a lot of living to do. This earth is going to pass away. We're going to stand before the judgment throne. We're going to give an account of all that we've done in this body, whether good or whether bad, in hope of eternal life in heaven. In heaven, not hell, but in heaven. You know, some people just don't care. They live their lives, you know, any way they want to. They don't believe that God is going to judge them. They don't believe that there is a fiery furnace or a lake of fire that they're going to be cast in because they're living ungodly lives. The Bible says in Titus chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, Paul, the servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and the knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began. And at the proper time manifested in His word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. We need to know again that we need godliness. We need to live a godly life because that day is coming. That day will be here. Oh, some of us will not wake up in the morning here upon this earth. Some of us will not wake or some of us will not live, you know, and again, I may say some, you know, but again, we have to understand the big picture. There's that day coming when the Bible says that it's appointed unto man once to die and after this to judgment. Oh, we don't want anybody to die. We want to hold on to them forever. But man is not meant for man to live forever. It is meant for man to live and to serve God. And to have this hope of eternal life. And the only way that we're going to have it is that we do the things that God is pleased with. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the verse 16. Great is the mystery of godliness. Great is this mystery. But guess what? God has revealed to us all the things that we need in order to say that I can be one of His children. I can live the way He wants me to live. I can have a godly life. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, 16, great indeed, we confess in the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among nations, believed on in all the world, taken up in glory. Our Lord and our Savior. You know, many didn't understand what He was talking about. And we can go back and we can look at the word and we can say, why come they didn't understand? Well, they didn't understand because they don't have all that we have right now. The Bible says God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. We have hope. We have hope that we will be able to enter into the kingdom in the end. We have hope that we can be around the throne. We can see our Lord. We can see our Savior. We have hope in that. Do not give up hope, but hold on to it. Continue to do the things that God will have you to do, those things that are pleasing and acceptable to Him. Being spiritual fit. being spiritual fit. We have to understand that in order to be spiritual fit, that we have to save ourselves, and not only ourselves, but we have to save others as well. We have the ability to study God's word. We have the ability to help out the next man. If you have what you need, why not help out the next man? But let me let you in on something. There are so many people that want to be helped out, but they never want to help anybody. That's not fair. We have to understand, being spiritual fit, we have something that somebody else needs, and we need to help them along. The Bible says there in 1 Timothy 4, verse 14 and 16, First Timothy chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in these. For by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. You save yourself and your hearers. You know, those hearers fall into the category of someone that want to be spiritual fit. See, we can talk to people all day long, and some would just sit there and they'll nod their head, yes, 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 but they're not hearing nothing we're saying. But you have that man that's really interested in his soul salvation. He's interested in his spiritual fitness, and he's willing to listen to you, and he's willing to make the changes that he needs to make that God may be pleased with. Let's do what's right. Let's live our lives the way God would have us to live them. Let's do the things that God, again, may say, that's one of my servants. That people may say, I want to be like him. That people may say, how did you get to where you are? Could you help me out as well? Somebody somewhere needs you. Somebody somewhere needs you. A life of spiritual fitness. It's about respect. We respect God. We respect his word. We're who we are because who God is. We're walking the way he wants us to walk because of what his word says. The Bible says in Psalm 111 and verse 9, he sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. Some versions say holy and reverent is his name. This is God. We have to respect God for who he is. How many people would say, oh, I'm going to disrespect him? No, nobody in here would say that. But by our actions, we disrespect God. We disrespect him. For a creature to look at his creator and disrespect him by being disobedient, that's disrespect. Period. Point blank. Nothing else said. So we have to go back and we have to say, do I respect God? Do I understand this spiritual balance? Do I understand who I am before God? We need to respect the scriptures in 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3. Respect the scriptures. That man that says, oh, that's what the word says, but yet don't do anything about it, he's not respecting the scriptures. 2 Peter chapter 1 and the verses 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. All things that pertain to life and godliness. I mentioned all those things earlier. From the home out into the world on our jobs, God has given us all things that we need. How to conduct ourselves. How to be a child of his. God has given us those things. What more do we need? What more do we need? What more are we wanting? That's really what I should ask. What more are we wanting? A want is just that. It's a want. A need is something that's necessary. God has already given us what we need. We need to accept it. We need to accept it. All scripture, God has given that to us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It's God breathed. It's from him, not from man. We need to understand heaven. In the book of Philippians chapter 3, understanding heaven, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 through 14. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on. Listen to what Paul says here. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, a lot of us have stopped. We're giving up. We're thrown in the towel. We don't want to fight any longer. I'm tired, Lord. You think God want to hear that you're tired? He already knows what you're going through. What he wants you to do is not give up. What he wants you to do is continue to press forward. What he wants you to do is live until your time is up, that you may be, you know, that faithful servant unto him. Being persecuted, Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. He be thou faithful unto the death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Be thou faithful. It's not a, oh Lord, you know, they're coming at me. I'm gonna give up. I'm just gonna throw in. I surrender. Now, if you want to surrender, surrender to God. Surrender to his word. Do the things that he wants you to do. Do not surrender to man. Do not wave the white towel, but continue to hold up the bloodstained banner. Do the things that are right before God. Do those things. A life of spiritual balance. Why we need God's plan. In Romans chapter 3 and the verse is 23. Why do we need God's plan for spiritual balance? Because again, man tell you, oh, one church is just as good as another. Oh, that's just what you believe. You continue to believe that. That's just the way you interpret it. You continue to interpret it like that. Oh, we all are going to get to heaven together. Oh, we are not all going to get to heaven, period. We need to understand that God has given us the things that we need. We need his plan. Romans chapter 3 and the verse is 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need to examine spiritual fitness, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 6 and the verse is 23. Romans chapter 6 and the verse is 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I have to say it every time I see this word free. I have to let you know we like free. We like free. We'll do anything for something free. Why not accept this free gift of salvation? That's the only thing that we reject that's free, is the free gift of salvation. God has offered it to us. The free gift of God is eternal life. Salvation. You cannot have eternal life without salvation. Why not accept it? God is offering it. We need to accept it. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Not ashamed. Why should we be ashamed of something that will never change? The things that we should be ashamed of are the things that we have changed. We should be ashamed when we have fallen away from the grace, or fallen from grace. We should be ashamed when we deny who Jesus Christ is. We should be ashamed when we disobey God. We should be ashamed when we bring shame upon the church. We should be ashamed. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. But you know, we have some people that do not want to teach God's word to anybody. But they'll listen and they'll take in what everybody else is saying. We need to make a stand. We need to take a stand. And we need to contend earnestly for the faith. There's a divine side of salvation. And that divine side of salvation, it comes from God. God sent his son in order to die, or sent his son in order to be born of a woman. Sent him to die for the sins of the world. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. We was talking to some people yesterday, and we was talking about worship, and some said that we should worship Mary. No, we should not worship Mary or pray to Mary. However they said it, Mary is not in the picture. Mary was just a vessel. She was a virgin. Yes, God chose her in order for the son to be born by her. But we're not to worship her. We're not to pray to her. We're not to give homage to her. Jesus is what he's pointing to, or who he's pointing to right here. She shall give birth to a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The divine side of salvation comes from God, not man. Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, where you have to be in the church that Jesus built, not the church that some man built. What does he say in Matthew 16:18? Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Or blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The divine sign of salvation. We need to accept it and we need to live by it in order to have a life of spiritual balance. To have a life of spiritual balance. Then we go to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is 7. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verse is 7. Understanding once again that everybody is not going to be on the same level that you're on. Understanding that everybody is not going to have a study habit the way you have a study habit. Everybody's not going to attend worship the way you are attending worship, but everybody can. Everybody can. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Ephesians chapter 1 and the verses 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. God has given us this. This is the divine side of salvation. Looking at chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Man, I put $1 million in the collection plate. God is going to have to let me into heaven. Wow, you really think that? I know nobody here is going to put $1 million in the collection plate. You know, some say, well, when I win the lottery, well, no. No, we're not playing the lottery. We're not doing that. We're doing what God wants us to do. You give as you have been prospered. Not of works. God doesn't want you to boast. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about him. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. Jeremiah 10, 23. We have to know how this direction comes. Again, it comes from God. You know, there are so many people who are going their own way. It is not about your way, but it's about God's way. Jeremiah 10, verse 23. I know, O Lord, that the way of man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Where are you going? Why are you going in that direction? I'm going in this direction because this is the direction God's word told me to go in. Oh, are you lost? No, I'm not lost. I'm following the plan. I'm doing what God wants me to do. I have become a member of the Lord's church because of what the Bible says, not about what man says. I'm doing these things because I know that these things are right. A life of spiritual balance. The human side in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 41. You understand that when they heard the message that Peter was preaching, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles in verse 37, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For this promise is for you, for your children, to those that are far off, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words. Look what it says. We're going to look at verse 41, because that's where I want you to key in, on verse 41. The human side of salvation. Coming from what Peter was preaching and what Peter was saying, there had to be some results. There had to be some actions. So he says in verse 41 of Acts chapter 2. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls. It's a lot of souls, isn't it? They heard the message. They received the message. They understood what they needed to do, and they did those things. Are you willing today to do what is right before God? Are you willing today to listen to his word and understand that his word is true and is his word that we need to be obey? 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 8. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and with godliness with brotherly love. Or brotherly affection, brotherly love, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a big part to play in our salvation, and we need to do the things that are right before God. And then we find in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26, the fruit of the Spirit, the things that we need to possess in our lives and our souls in order to be pleasing to God. The last verse there, it says that against these, there is no law. Against doing what's right before God, there is no law. There is no limit. So let us make sure that we're living the way God wants us to live. Our spiritual fitness has a balance. And that balance needs to be pleasing before God. We need to do what's right. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Maybe you have listened to what I've said today, and you are one of the ones that says, I exercise all the time. And I want you to understand that even a man or a woman that exercises all the time still have problems. My feet hurt. I have run too much. My arms are hurting. I exercise too hard. My heart, it has a beat that wasn't normally there, but the doctor said it's because I exercise too hard. I put too much in it. Let your heart beat fast because you have been in the Word of God. Amen. If you have a heart attack, good. Good. You are doing the right thing. Well, I knew a man that maxed his PT test, went over and sat on a stump and died. He was physically fit. But the question is this, was he spiritually fit? Was he spiritually fit? We need to understand that God is looking at each one of us. And if we're not where we need to be in our spiritual journey with Him, we're not going to make any end if we die. Maybe you're here and you want to become a Christian. We want you to come tonight. We want you to make that confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We want you to put Christ on through baptism. We want you to do the things that are right, that God is pleased with. We want you to rise to walk a newness of life. We want you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're straight away from the fold. Maybe you've done some things that you are displeased with, and the reason you're displeased with them because you know that God is displeased with them. We want you to get your life right tonight before it is too late. If you're here and you're subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing.